Hey lovies, this is Love or Obsession and my name is Queen. Welcome, welcome, come in, let me tell you a story. Today is not a regular Love or Obsession day, but in the spirit of betrayal, Last Supper, crucifixion, and rising again, I wanted to give y'all a bonus Easter episode. From me to you, baby. Now, this story has nothing to do with Easter, but the main character was deeply, deeply religious, so I know Easter would have been important to him. And remember, this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Well, I'm not going to say only, but it's for entertainment purposes. And I would really appreciate it if you tell a friend, share, rate, review, available on Spotify, Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, wherever you like to listen to your podcast. I promise to stay consistent and I want to be up there and stuck there. So without further delay, enjoy this Bible Thumping Freak bonus episode. Okay. John List, born September 17, 1925 in Bay City, Michigan, was classified a mass murderer. In November 1971, he killed his whole family, which consisted of his 84-year-old mother, Alma, his 45-year-old wife, Helen, his daughter, Patricia, who was 16, two sons, Frederick, who was 13, and John Jr., who was 15. And a fun fact, you guys, John List's daughter's middle name was Marie. Her name was Patricia Marie. I told y'all in the 60s, 70s back then, that middle name Marie was hitting, okay? I think it's, because I was going to say, I think it came from Lisa Marie Presley. Which one was the wife, Elvis' wife, Lisa Marie? Y'all, let me stop talking about that, okay? But my mother's name was Lisa Marie, okay? And I knew Elvis' wife or daughter, one of them. Priscilla was the wife. Lisa was the daughter. Okay, y'all, moving on. He did it because, well, his excuse was that he wanted to spare them the struggles of sin and poverty. He'd rather see them dead than to see them on welfare, okay? He had to kill them and send them to heaven also before they were corrupted by the ways of the world. Now, let me tell y'all, everything that led up to the murders. He was so deep in the church. This man was a Sunday school teacher, real calm, mild-mannered, standoffish, unfriendly as fuck. Just a real Mr. Freeze, you guys. Too serious about everything. He was an accountant, so you know he was a real stick in the butt. No offense to the accountants out there. Y'all very smart. I can never do what y'all do, okay? I think John was so deeply religious that it played with his mind a little, because the only solution to financial hardship in his mind was murder. If my kid's hungry, snatch the dishes out your kitchen. You know that financial failure or any type of failure to a real serious person that made plans and expect certain things out of their lives, it becomes real hard and a burden, I guess. John stated that financial hardships would have split his family up and turned them away from their faith, and that forced him to make a tough decision. He decided the only way to save his family was to kill them. Being so deeply religious, the interviewer threw at him one of the Ten Commandments, which was, "Thou shalt not kill." John was quoted saying, quote, "I know it was wrong. As I was doing it, I knew it was wrong," end quote. Well, so much for not being in your right mind. It just seems like being in his right mind was dangerous. Because I was thinking that maybe John suffered from mental health issues. John worked as a vice president and comptroller of the nearby bank. His family lived in a 19-room mansion with marble fireplaces and an elegant ballroom. That house had to be real nice. A ballroom? Shit, I would have been throwing Great Gatsby parties every weekend. And he ain't want nobody at his house. Shit. John had a military background. I think he served in World War II and also the Korean War. Serving in the Korean War is how he met his wife, Helen. Helen was a widow with a young daughter. Her first husband died in the Korean War. Not long after meeting John, Helen and John got married. Not long after meeting, he basically said that Helen trapped him by getting pregnant with daughter Patricia. Now the daughter, and you know, that's just like information that's neither here nor there, because I heard that from a source, but I didn't look it up to see if it was actual or factual, because resources for my story I got from an ABC News article, and a lot of these accounts comes from John's mouth himself. Excuse that precious coughing, she's sleeping. Okay, now the got pregnant with Patricia. Now the daughter that Helen already had upon meeting John didn't get murdered, because she was grown and out of the house and doing her own thing. Soon after Patricia was John Jr. and lastly Frederick. The family attended church every week with John's mother, a strict Lutheran. And when John purchased that huge house, his mother Alma moved in with them. And if you haven't guessed it, John and his mother were really tight. Even though John didn't mess with people on the outside, it was assumed that the family was happy and thriving. But we all know that looks can be deceiving, because on the inside of the household was hectic and stressful. I was stressed out reading it, y'all, so I know it was stressful in there inside the home. Helen, his wife, still grieved her fallen husband. She turned to alcohol quite often and wasn't motivated to do anything. Not to mention, she did not get along with Alma, her mother-in-law, who had separate living quarters upstairs, but still lived in the home. Now, y'all know it can only be one woman at a house, so I kind of understand that little strain. But it was said that John's mother, Alma, didn't take to Helen from the very beginning. But wife and mom was not meshing well in the home. The daughter Patricia started taking acting classes, and it was rumored to be sneaky linking with her acting coach, who was a grown man. She was 16. I don't know what the boys were doing that was stressing John out so bad, but it couldn't have been nothing specific. They was just like victims of circumstance. John looked at all of this as being on a path to destruction, and he was trying to save his family from damnation. He was trying to save his family from the 101 Dalmatians, probably from Cruella's, but no, he was trying to save them from damnation. He didn't want them to be damned in hell. He was dead broke, because upon purchasing a big house, he could barely afford it. He exhausted all his finances trying to keep his family happy. His wife, Helen, in particular, got so in above. Well, I said that he exhausted all his finances trying to keep his family happy, his wife, Helen, in particular. He got so in above his head that he even started stealing money from his mother. He was taking money out of his mother's account. And bad went to worse when he lost his bank job. And he was ashamed to tell his family that he was too ashamed to tell his family that he would still leave for work every morning. Or so they thought, when he was really just going to the train station to read, nap, and brainstorm. I can imagine that society has something to do with a motherfucker being scared to be broke during any time. Because upon finding his family, the house was described as being sparsely furnished. And it's like, why the fuck is his furniture or lack thereof a topic when his whole family is laying here dead and he missing, you know? What's money without happiness? Or hard times without the people you love? It's always gonna be a bigger house. But as long as the people in that motherfucker love you dearly, you ain't gonna never be happy until you love yours. No such thing as a life that's better than yours. No such thing as a life that's better than yours. No such thing. What's hard times without happiness, huh? Or hard times without the people you love? is he, what he say, this that J. Cole, y'all, is always gonna be a house that's bigger. Let me stop rapping. But that's that J. Cole that love yours. And you know something, he was right. What's hard times without the people you love? What's having all this money and big house and all this if you're not happy? There's no such thing as a life that's better than yours. And we always try to chase something better. A lot of people look outside their life and try to look at other people's, the inside of other people's lives from the outside, you know, and thinking that they live in such a grand life. A lot of times the grass is not always greener. Don't look at nobody's life trying to compare it to yours, because everybody got their reasons and their seasons to do certain things. And as long as you have faith and put in the work, you gonna be great. Make your plans and stick to it, y'all. Remember Queen told you that. So yeah, John felt like he was spiraling out of control and he was losing his family. He went to the train station every day like think, 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 think. And all he came up with was murder. Not another job, not a fresh start, just bloody murder. Like Bloody Mary. When John decided he could kill his family, he stated that he didn't kill himself because with his belief, self-murder, you won't go to heaven. So he could kill his family, repent, and be forgiven, and eventually make it to heaven, gaze himself. That was his thought process. After his mind was made up, it was no turning back. John busted out guns from his military days, an old 9mm pistol and a .22 caliber pistol. John brought new ammunition. And one night after dinner, John even had the nerve to ask his family what would they prefer in death, burial or cremation. And it's like, okay, Dad, you going to bed and I'm running away. No, I'm just playing. I was like, what? This man is real head, Casey, for real, though. So on November 9th, 1971, after sending the children off to school, John loaded his guns, went into the kitchen where his wife Helen was sitting drinking coffee, and shot her in the head from behind. John was quoted saying, quote, "I approached all of them from behind so they wouldn't realize until the last minute what I was going to do to them," end quote. And he talking about his family, y'all. Remember that. Now next, he went upstairs to his mother's apartment. She was having breakfast. In his own words, John said he kissed his mother, quote, "like Judas," end quote. He took the kiss of death so I can be the last Don. He took the kiss of death so I can be the last Don. That's that Master P, y'all. What y'all know about that? Y'all know Judas was one of Jesus' disciples, the one that betrayed him. Judas told the ops, "I will kiss him on the cheek. That's how you will know that it's him." Snake ass motherfucker. So that's what he was referring to. But baby, Sunday was around the corner. You hear me? Y'all don't hear me though. John said like Judas, he kissed his mother on the cheek and then he shot her in the head. Then he went downstairs, dragged his wife's body into the ballroom, and began to clean up the blood. He went to the post office to stop the mail, to the bank to steal the rest of his mother's money, which were savings bonds that he cashed in. He kills his wife and mother and started running errands. And this shit, started running errands and shit. He is real crazy, y'all. Real crazy. Upon returning home, and you know, I hesitate to use the word crazy. Like I use that word a lot, but I hesitate to use because I don't ever want to be offensive. Like I say in almost every episode, like people that's really suffering from mental health issues, I don't want to be disrespectful or disregard anything that you go to. Hell, I suffer from mental health issues, you know. I like to think so anyway. I'm real strong in a man though. Thank you God for that. Okay, so upon returning home, he made several calls to explain why his family won't be seen, which was that they were traveling to North Carolina to visit Helen's sick mother. And Helen's mother really was sick, and that was just real, I feel like that was real, real inconsiderate and heartless to play upon and use that as an excuse. Then he sat down at the same table where he shot his wife and he ate lunch. And he was quoted saying, "I was hungry. That's just how it was during that time." He was a jerk, y'all, a real jerk off. I don't care how nerdy or mild-mannered he appeared to be. He was a real demon on the inside. And that's like how people be, y'all, all them calm and collected people. I know me specifically, just speaking for myself, I tend to hold things in and I let it build up, all the shade, all the negative talk, all the bad treatment. I let stuff build up. And then at one point or another, for no particular reason, somebody could say, "Hey, you," and I snap off or some shit like that. And I call that misplaced anger, because that one incident is not why particularly why I'm upset, but that was just probably like the tip of the iceberg that just sent me over the edge, if y'all understand where I'm coming from, okay? In the afternoon, he proceeded to kill his children as they came home. First was his daughter Patricia. She had Hollywood dreams. Then his youngest 13-year-old Frederick, and finally 15-year-old John Jr. Now, y'all can't tell me that John didn't have mental health issues, because he called John Jr. his favorite, but at the same time, he emptied the clip from both guns into John Jr. And John said so coldly that John Jr. was jerking. He didn't know if he shot him so many times to end his suffering or to relieve tension. So he said upon shooting John Jr. initially, John Jr. was still like jerking and like writhing in pain. So he just fired him up and emptied out both guns into John Jr. And he didn't know if he did that to end John Jr.'s suffering or to just relieve the tension that he was feeling. After completing what he felt was his assignment for the day, John was also known to do. He was relieving the tension after completing what he felt was his assignment for the day. And John was also known to do yard work and a shirt and tie, y'all. a dress shirt and tie. You could tell that couldn't nobody tell him shit about what he believed. He was real one of those true to his religion people. He arranged all bodies in the ballroom except for his mother. He said that she was too heavy to move, which was John, really, how rude. John was a rude son to his mother, stealing her money, calling her fat. I don't like that, John. Pull yourself together. He was an intelligent man, but he killed his whole family, the people that loved him the most, because he was weak in the man. Okay. John played loud music over the intercom. He cleaned the house. Then he sat down and wrote his pastor a confession letter. A psychiatrist who examined John after his arrest said that his sense of cleanliness was the result of a compulsive personality. The doctor also said that John showed no evidence of anything even close to genuine remorse, and added that he's a cold, cold man. So I didn't mention it, but the huge home was in New Jersey, as John List gave the house a once over, tearing his face out of every family photo. He left. He drove his car to JFK Airport in New York. He took a bus into the city, and John got out of Dodge and was living his life for 18 years after killing his whole family. Okay, and Westfield police didn't discover the bodies until a month later, because that's where he was at, Westfield, New Jersey, till a month later. When they entered the house, the music was still playing with five deceased, decomposed bodies. That's real spooky ooky, okay? From New York, John traveled to Denver. He started a new life under the name Robert P. Clark, apparently the name of an old college mate who didn't even know that John existed. He like, "Oh, I like that name. I'ma just run with Robert Clark. That's the name for me." Life in Denver, John started as a hotel fry cook, eventually gotten back into accounting and joined his local Lutheran church. He even remarried a widow named Dolores Clark. Deja vu all over again. A big break came when John was broadcasted on America's Most Wanted. And now they didn't even want to run the story on the show because it had been 18 years and they felt like it was an unsolvable case. And they wanted to get their ratings and reviews by by broadcasting solvable cases that they felt like could eventually get solved. Boy, was they wrong, because John actually caught the tail end of the episode about him, and he was surprised to see that the show didn't raise any superstitions with his wife, but it did raise the nosy neighbors. It did raise suspicion with the nosy neighbors. Rosie, the nosy neighbor. Don't get it twisted, y'all. I love a nosy neighbor. I am a nosy neighbor, okay? Them nosy neighbors could help save your life if shit goes down. At the very least, they could at least call the police and report strange activity or something like that. So have some love and respect for your nosy neighbor, okay? Every time you coming and going, you see somebody peeking out the window. That's love, bro. Okay, so in Virginia, John and his new wife, Dolores, they actually left Denver and moved to Virginia. At the time, the old neighbor back in Denver recognized him on the America's Most Wanted episode and called the police. He was arrested 11 days after, heartlessly. He was arrested 11 days after 2 days of being on the run from heartlessly shooting his family to death. Their provider, their protector. That's what he's supposed to have been to his family. It's so tragic, y'all. He was sentenced to 5 life terms. All he had to say for himself during the sentence was, "Sorry for the tragedy that happened in 1971. That's all he had to say. Not personally even acknowledging his wife, mother, or children. John died at the age of 72, at the age of 82 on March 21st, 2008 from complications of pneumonia. And that's today's story, you guys. I hope you enjoyed this bonus Easter episode. I know people have been requesting longer episodes, but I don't want to oversaturate my stories, you guys. I will be back Tuesday with a regular scheduled episode. Pictures from this story can be found on the Instagram at Love or Obsession Podcast. You can send all messages and suggestions to Love or Obsession Podcast at gmail.com. It's Queen. I love y'all. Somebody loves you, baby. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Peace out.